All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom question you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice, and mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she's overcame. This book becomes a legacy and something you and your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm so excited about mylifeinabook.com because I'm planning on gifting my mom with this. She's always loved reflecting on memories and sharing her stories, and I know this will be the perfect gift to capture those moments for her. The thoughts of her flipping through the pages and reliving those cherished memories brings a smile to my face already. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code BRAVADO at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code BRAVADO for 10% off today.
Welcome to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast, your weekly fix for all things mental health and wellness. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Germany. And not only are we besties, but we're your besties. You heard me right. It's homegirl vibes here.
Get ready for the girls to dish the real, the raw, and the fucking funny.
And listen, we may drag you, but it's always in love. Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, queens.
Always come in sounding so sweet.
Who?
Me.
Very disgusting. Hey, y'all. New week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
Welcome back to the show. How was your weekend and your week?
Both, huh? But double up. Yeah. My weekend, you know, these weeks have felt like lately, and I tweeted this, I feel like my life has just been me running a never ending errand. Mm. Like, I got to do this. I got to go here. I got to take my car to get service. And I got to make sure I get to, like, damn. I hate when it's
when
like,
can you rest?
When it's stacked like that. I got to edit this. I got like, got to do this. Got to upload this. It's like, oh, fuck.
It sounds like more organization is needed. More time management is needed.
No, it sounds like some of the duties need to be.
You don't think that it comes down to also organization and time management?
Not when it comes to things like getting my car serviced.
I know, because, but that's, you know, just why? One errand.
I have to work.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the party.
From home. And you know, you when you're getting these car service, you need to be there early. You need to be there. You need to drop your car off as soon as it's open.
So why don't you?
I do.
What did work from home have to do with that?
Because you have to drop your car off at 8 and I start work at 8. That's what it has to do with it.
Right, but
it's starting at the same time.
You know that you can take, I don't know if this is how your dealer works, but you can take the car a little bit early. No, how early
it
don't
does work your like it opens at 8.
Really?
Yes.
Sometimes so, they make it where you could leave the car with the sales or service before they open, and then you could just...
Well, that's at BMW. We don't have the same
still
make.
Still.
At Mercedes-Benz, if your appointment's at 8, late. Get at 8. My truth is...
What's your truth?
I have to do a lot, and it's not enough hours in the day sometimes, point blank period. It comes down to a little bit more than time management. It comes to a lot on plate. Period.
So what are you going to do about it?
Explain what the fuck I'm doing. I'm getting it done. Just like I have. But I can express
you can.
How I feel about it.
You can. So with your never-ending errand, what did you do this weekend?
Worked and ran errands and handled business. Went out with the girls for dinner, which was fun. Realizing that, you know, I love the midweek dinners. Haven't done those in a while. Haven't really done any midweek activities. It's just been like work and more work during the week, and then like trying to cram all of the activities into the weekend.
Yeah.
And that can be overwhelming sometimes.
And that also makes you more tired. That's why I don't feel like we get in no rest on the weekend. Right. It's like, I got to do all of my things. I want to see all my people. I want to run everywhere, go everywhere. And then the Sunday comes and it's like, damn, work is already tomorrow.
Especially because the work week, the work day takes so much of the week. It's like on the weekends, you want to get your nails done. That takes time. You want to go run some errands. Like, that takes time too. And it's like, you want to relax a little bit too. It's just a lot.
Yeah. We have to start doing some stuff during the week.
Period.
Not only just like hanging out with our friends, but running some errands too. Although you don't feel like it. I think that will help create more like work-life balance, you know? Like, oh, I got to run these little, let me break my stuff down. So come Saturday, I could chill.
Right.
And get into my bag.
It comes down to more freedom, because when you're at work for 8 hours of the day, it just takes so much of the damn day.
It does.
And I'm like, I need to get my fucking car service. I'm going to get my nails done during the week. That would be a nice treat, but that has to be done on the weekends.
Yeah. The commute there. I have noticed checking in about my life audit adjustments. Being at work at 7 really helps me. I feel like I have so much more time throughout the day or during the day. Like, even yesterday, I didn't feel like I had to rush to get home and change. If I was getting off at 5, I would have been like, I got to speed in traffic, get myself together, walk Gatsby, get to the restaurant. I would have just been feeling stressed. Yeah. But getting off at 3:30 and home when it's bright outside, I can cook. I just have a lot more time. I'm like, this feels good. This feels so much better. So being at work at 7 really is a cheat code for me.
I was able to go to work, go to an appointment, then go get ready for dinner. I just hate having appointments sometimes. Like, fuck, what? I would like about a month with no appointments.
Do you have that many appointments often, like throughout the month?
Yeah, it's either the doctor's or the dentist.
Yeah.
Something. There's something. A car.
Things to do. Things to do.
And then as an adult, you just got something to do, unless you go on a month sabbatical.
Yeah, we have to take care of our things.
Yeah.
What did I do this weekend? Oh, I went to the night in, what was it? A Summer Walker's night? A summer night? Night in summer? R&B summer night? What the fuck was it called?
Summer night.
What was that Summer Walker concert called? It was a something using Summer's name.
Hot summer night, maybe?
I don't know. A summer night? I think it was called A Summer Night. It was cute. Summer Walker is very underwhelming in concert, which I'm sure we all know.
Yeah,
I was expecting for her to turn a new leaf, but it was really.
I think that's just who she is. Seen her live, but I've never seen her live.
It did not give.
She's just not a performer.
It did not give.
Sing down, but she's just not a performing girl.
She's not. Somebody said it doesn't even seem like she wants to do this. Why does she keep doing this to herself?
For many.
I know.
She has to. It's a part of the job.
She's not excelling at that part.
How was Ari?
Ari was good. I mean, she also has a pretty laid back performance style. The girls are, you know, definitely give R&B singer. So it's not a lot of
dancing.
Yes. You know, but it was
Joyce be dancing though.
Joyce does dance. She definitely gives R&B, 90s R&B.
Did you see her?
Yeah.
Okay.
I seen Joyce. Joyce sounded amazing. Ari sounded amazing. Jasmine sounded good. It was just the actual sound.
of the facility. I saw a tweet saying that Staples Center has horrible sound.
Yes, it was a sound, like whatever the sound audio was, her voice itself sounded good.
But it just wasn't in sync.
It wasn't.
Did you see Omarion?
That was terrible.
You seen him?
That was embarrassing. Not at that concert.
I'm thinking, did you see him come out at the concert, girl? Because he came out at that concert.
With who?
He came out with Summer Walker because you know they got that song "Screw It."
Okay, I had already departed.
Okay,
I had actually already left.
Girl, I seen the tweets; they were tearing him apart. Like Omarion, we didn't forget about last night.
It was a mess. How did they say he sounded?
Horrible. See,
he really cannot sing,
girl.
He cannot sing, child.
Somebody tweeted and said they can't wait to hear what we have to say about that versus.
That versus was a hot ass mess. It was like a car crash you cannot take your eyes off of. Like, I wanted to turn it off, but I could not. But it was so bad. Towards the end, though, I said, I'm done.
Yeah, towards the end, I said, I have to go get ready for bed. But Mario ate Omarion up and left no crumbs.
When it first started off, I said, babe, Omarion's about to eat Mario up.
No, I was always Mario for me.
I was like, he's going to eat him up. He's really going to eat him up because I prefer Omarion's music. Album cuts and shit like that to Mario. Mario's a deep in his R&B bag, like deep. So I just was like, he's gonna eat him up. He actually got eight.
He ate him up.
He got eight. I was like,
I mean, he was just really performing, and I've always been a Mario fan.
Sounds so good. He has not missed.
Hasn't missed a vocal session.
I'm like, he's not drinking. He's not smoking. He ain't tarnishing his vocals.
Girl, he was on Omarion's head. Okay, first of all, when Omarion came out with just the headpiece and the white glasses on, I said, now he's really planning to
it was when he got on the floor and was like, I was like, Omarion, you got to get up.
I hate
you have to get
one
up.
One thing I do not like is a very dancing man. Unless you're Chris Brown I can take, but it comes a point where I'm like, boy, stop.
I don't like a hypersexual performer. Like acting like your dick is the mic and dropping it all over the watermelon piece. I actually hated it. I'm like, stop it right now. All on the floor, all that, every few minutes, the whole like acting like you're thrusting. Stop it,
girl.
I'm not here for that. I don't get turned on by that.
You didn't catch the pre-verses.
I did. The pre-verses that was actually a verses. It was so long. Sound horrible.
One wish, if I had.
He said, "You my baby, my baby." He kept saying, "Making my baby make." What did he say? How does that go? Have us a baby. That
have
part.
Have us a baby.
He was like, yeah. "Have us a baby. Have us a baby." I'm like, you sound shitty.
Once they had stopped and then restarted the. One wish, one wish, one wish.
Oh, I missed that part.
One wish, one wish, one wish.
It was terrible.
One wish, then they stopped and they started back up. One wish.
What took me out is Brandy's comment. She was like, bro, you didn't take the special tea. I'm like, Brandy.
The tea that I made you. Brandy's annoying as fuck. I'm sorry. She's annoying.
Brandy and Ray J, they're annoying. They're annoying. Like it's almost like a point to prove.
Like, we're siblings and we love each other and we're so close and we have a bond.
Not even that. Like, it's just a try-too-hard energy. Mm. Ray J, everybody on that stage had a try-too-hard energy. They were like, bro, my bro Tank. I wrote that song for Tank. Y'all, shut up. It was very much giving high school.
Girl.
It was giving high school.
And you know what? It seems like Omarion should have sat it out, because how did it become a tell-all? Did you see everything that was revealed?
J Bug ate him up. I said, tell the truth.
First of all, after the verses, all three of the group members,
I know,
posted that clip David talking Ruffin. About ain't nobody come to see you.
Yeah.
And then it became a tell all after Omarion called them up. His background dancers.
He started. But the thing is, if you already know that everybody, that they know that tea, that you weren't really recording.
You got to keep your mouth closed.
It was like, boy, I felt what J-Bug was saying. Like, he's trying so hard to get to the top and it's just constant flop. Like, that night was a flop. The fits, the watermelon, the microphone dick, all of it. None of it worked. None of it.
Those
it's
are
all
the
a
pieces
spectacle.
You hated
it's all a spectacle.
Those are the pieces you hated.
It's no true talent. The fit change, having Omarion come out and also eat the watermelon. I'm like, you are the DJ. You got to get back there and start the track up. The simultaneously eating of watermelon.
Bruh.
I just could not. I'm like, you guys, get back to the verses.
The simulation of the vagina eat out was crazy.
I was tired of it. I'm like, you played yourself. This is played. It's corny. Heavy on the cornball. It was giving corn.
Yeah.
So and I was not a fan. And that's
facts, no printer.
Yeah, I was not feeling that verses. The best verses was one of the best verses. T-Pain and Lil Jon, that was an amazing verses. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that verses. What's another one that I thoroughly enjoyed?
I really enjoyed some of the early ones, like when they were
the pandemic verses.
The pandemic ones, because Jonte Austin.
That was a good one.
And Neo, was it Neo?
That was bomb.
Girl.
That was bomb. The first one, y'all, was a precursor.
Timbaland. The first one was Timbaland.
No, the first one was Sean Garrett and The Dream.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That one went to hell. They were
at each other's throats, but the hits.
The hits were there, but I said, this is actually drama.
Once they elevated, which I know, growth is great, but you also have to know when to put things to rest.
Once they started meeting up and doing the performance, it lost its essence.
It did. It was something that was good for the time.
Teddy Riley is when it went bad.
You know what? That's the same thing I was talking about with Kayla, because Teddy Riley, the thing is, it hadn't even elevated to that point yet. Teddy Riley had took it upon himself to create a set, and then they had to come back.
It was a mess. That's when it started. It was shot in the foot that day.
Versus did what it needed to do. 2.5 years later, we can pivot.
Yeah, we're done with the verses. The only verses that I want to see now is Chris Brown and Usher. Although Chris Brown said it would have to be a real thing for him. He wants
like
to
a
really,
concert.
That's what I think he was hinting at. Like a back-to-back type of thing.
Now that I would get tickets for.
I feel like they might do that. Have a great opener.
That will be... Girl, I need to see Chris Brown live as an adult. I saw him when it was Young Love. Young Love. I seen him back then, but I need to see him with the I Just Want to See You strip, right?
I want
to
see Usher live.
I want to see him too.
Now, residency would be so good for with both of them.
We should go to Vegas.
We should. We said that. I just want to see you strip. Goddamn you sexy. Goddamn you sexy.
For me.
Listen, yeah. Can't you see that? I would not be able to choose. I would just have to enjoy the music.
It's just enjoying the music. I guess the next people might be Joe and...
I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
I want to know.
I don't want to see Joe. I'm sorry. I don't, because there's only a handful of Joes. This is another thing, and then we're going to go ahead and get off of this subject. What makes Versus good and why Omarion flopped, the hits, hit after hit is what people want to hear. They want to sing along. That's what makes Versus good, because although Mario was eating him up, I was not deep in my Mario bag the cuts.
I knew him.
So it's not the same unless you really like have consistent hits that people can sing along to. Omarion don't got enough of that.
It's definitely a recipe.
There's an element to that.
It's a recipe of having the hits, having the vocals.
Yeah.
And then having, you know, the banter.
Yeah.
And the personality.
The banter can't be disrespectful. I don't like that.
No, not disrespectful, but just, you know, like playful. You know, back in the day when Versus first started, it was like mini little history lessons. Like, I remember when I linked up with da-da-da.
Yeah,
we created this.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I didn't like about this most recent one. It was sprinkled with disrespect.
It was.
All throughout. I'm like, I don't like the way y'all talking to one another. Girl. It's no longer enjoyable for the fans, and I have to go. It's too much. The dick, the watermelon.
Girl, again.
On the floor. And now the disrespect. It was all of it. It was just not good. So that's our
take.
A hot take. 15 minutes on it, but whatever.
Yeah, all that to say, he came out at the summer night. Summer night or whatever.
Yeah.
A night with summer.
Glad I missed it. I really would have been out of my seat at that point.
I haven't been to a concert in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anywho.
So yeah, that was the weekend. We're moving on. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So ratings and reviews, please. If you like what you're listening, take a few minutes, seconds, actually pause the show, leave a rating and review. They help us tremendously here on the show on Spotify. It's even quicker. Just leave a rating and we'll love you for it. I want to read our review of the week. This comes from Tavi. She says, y'all, I absolutely love this podcast. I have never been a podcast person, but recently started listening and I have been hooked on y'all's since. I literally feel like I'm there with y'all and in all the mix. Your content is amazing, and I've even gotten my husband to listen to a few.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much for being here and talking to us. We love when y'all do that. Get these men's in here.
Yeah. We got something to teach them.
Yes, we do.
Yes, thank you so much, girlfriend. Thanks for the kind words. Patreon, you already know what it is and you know what to do. By now, I know for sure that all of the retreat, all the ticket information is uploaded. We have a special discount code for our girlies who join us over on Patreon. An extra
$500 off. $500,
up to $500 off that you can save. So get on over there. There's a lot of content. We're about to be revamping it and refreshing it. So it's going to look brand new. It's going to feel brand new. And we're really excited to start that.
Yes. Speaking of the retreat, the She Connects Unlocking Sisterhood retreat is live and in effect, waiting for you all to book your spots. It is going to be a magical unlocking, connecting, bonding sisterhood experience. We have curated the perfect trip for all of our intimate homegirls. Mm-hmm. And like Germany said, there is a discount code for Patreon. But for you all, there is a discount as well. You save $300 off, which can be applied to your deposit for the first. It's a limited time.
That's all we're saying.
It's a limited time. So if you're thinking about coming, now is the time because we want to save our.
Yes. And if you are thinking about coming and you feel like you have some questions that you need answered, feel free to email us and we will get you all the information that you need. This is very safe. It's going to be a great time. We've taken care of everything. All you have to do is book your flight and show up.
Just show up.
That's it.
And that's going to be March 20th through the 26th in 2023.
Yes.
Before we get there, though, we want you all to meet us in either L.A. or New York for our live show.
Yes,
the girlies are doing a thing. Mm-hmm. So August 6th, if you're in L.A., August 27th, if you're in New York, we're pulling up on you. We want you to pull up on us. That ticket information is down in the show notes as well. It's going to be a good time.
Yes, it's going to be fun.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wished for an extra hour in your day? What would you do with it? Maybe it's finding time for a run, a nap, or simply being there for a friend. But often, life feels like a race against the clock. What if you could carve out time for what truly matters to you? Therapy can be that guide, helping you prioritize what's important and make time for it. Whether it's setting boundaries, learning coping skills, or simply becoming the best version of yourself, therapy empowers you to take control of your life. When I've been called to therapy, it's been during times when I felt like I've needed to really center myself and regain control of my thoughts, feelings, and actions. And let me tell you, it has definitely helped. If you're considering therapy, consider BetterHelp. It's convenient, flexible, and entirely online. With just a brief questionnaire, you can be matched with a licensed therapist who fits your needs. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. Take the first step towards a more fulfilling life with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bravado today and get 10% off your first month. 10%, y'all. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bravado.
Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR has got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure. Absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story, but now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling, but with them presenting Black stories, Black truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. So last week, y'all, we kicked off this new series, Relationships and You, and we're getting down to the nit grit. We had to start with dealing with difficult family members. Right. Sometimes it's challenging when you're in a relationship and a nigga family just ain't vibing with you. Mm-hmm. You don't know what to do. You don't know why they don't like you or what the tea is. And there's a lot of work to be done there. So if you haven't already, listen, get some tips.
Yes.
And learn how to
deal with
effectively. It. Yes. Manage the challenge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But today.
Today we're here continuing this relationships in you. So we've been talking about relationships for years now, right? We've talked about the ways relationships affect us, how we show up in them, how we would like people to show up in them for us. But now we're in an interesting time, right? Mm-hmm. The economy is economy.
Yeah. It's shifting, baby.
If you have eyes and ears, you have been hearing about the economy. You've been hearing about inflation. You've been hearing about this recession. You've been noticing prices changing.
Yeah. And things increasing.
Yes. Gas prices. No matter groceries. Where you are. Groceries.
Rent.
Services. Rent. And rent.
Everything. I mean, yeah. The with the recession, a lot of money was given out to...
You mean the pandemic?
Yeah. During the pandemic, a lot of money was given out. And now we're having to offset all of the demand, all the supply, rather, with less demand, meaning everything is more expensive. This was a planned recession, actually. Once that happened, they foresee it.
With the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every few years it happens. So here we are.
The last one was in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I was young. It didn't affect me like that. I was a young tyke.
Same. I remember just when I got my stimulus.
Just getting into the work field, if even that. I don't even think I was really getting into it.
I had a
my
job.
Feet were very wet, you know, just having a little odd jobs here and there.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a full working woman.
I was a part-time employee at American Eagle, but I was like consistently working, and I got my little stimulus check. That's the first time I realized or learned what a stimulus was.
Was that the Obama stimulus?
That definitely was. The $600.
Yes.
I got mine. I said, Mom, you are not getting this. It came to me.
Why is a black mom always trying to retrieve someone's funds?
She got WOOC stimulus.
No.
Because she claimed WOOC. WOOC wasn't even working. Mm-hmm. And WOOC just knew she was getting. I said, no, you got
to
be
really having to tell them parents to get up off of the Social Security. I am now claiming myself.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Release my Social Security.
I said, girl, but I got my little stimulus, my $600.
I remember that. We got it with our taxes or something.
No, they just sent the little checks, but you had to filed your taxes to get the stimulus. So I got my little stimulus check. I'm sure I ran through it. I'm certain I ran through it, baby.
Duh.
I'm certain. At that time, you know, I was bad with getting parking tickets and not paying them. So I might have had to take care of some business before my mom did my registration. So I'm sure my money went there.
Mm-hmm.
But the last recession was in 2017, and it hit us hard.
2007.
2007. Ooh, yeah. Pardon me. But it hit folks hard.
Yes, it did. Homes foreclosing, mm-hmm. people losing jobs. Recessions are a real deal, Holyfield. But that's not what we're talking about today, is how the economy can affect our relationships, right? Yes. I was on Instagram, and I came across this post, and it really sparked some thought in me. Mm. And I thought, this would be good to talk about on the podcast. And I had even posed it as a question on my personal Instagram, just to see like how people were feeling about it, to create some dialogue. So this girlie, she had posted that she's an astrologer, so she usually ties in like an astrological perspective as well as what's going on currently in the world. So she was talking about how like we were hearing about a lot of couples breaking up, like just couples in general, like Lori and Michael B. Jordan had just broken up, and then Carisha and Diddy had did their episode. You know, they were some of the hot couples during the time. But she said Venus also represents finances, so y'all should be paying attention to the economy right now too. Gas prices have reached an all-time high, and food shortages are still on the rise. Yet the wages have pretty much stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon people will be having revelations about how it's nearly impossible to survive in this economy as a single person. So marriage and partnership will increase. However, more relationships will look unconventional. People will be also joining partnerships in more unconventional ways. We will see an increase in men and women doing co-living as well, instead of being in traditional relationships. Mark my words.
Yeah, it's happening. That's pretty interesting that she said that about marriages increasing, because there were statistics done or studies done on the 2007 recession,
mm-hmm.
where they seen that marriage and birth rates declined.
People were not getting married.
People were not getting married, and people were not having babies, because weddings are expensive.
Yes.
Right. And then having children are fucking expensive.
Yeah.
So they seen a decline of marriage and babies. There was also a decline of divorce, so definitely people staying together. And then when things leveled out, we started to see ourselves come out of the recession. Niggas was getting the fuck up out of there. It was giving divorce rates increase. I can do bad all by myself.
Yeah.
And pay my own bills now.
I can stand on my 2 feet now.
Period.
I think that's why she's saying we're going to be seeing an increase in unconventional co-living, because mm-hmm. it's like we're not moving. People aren't necessarily going to be moving together because they're married. They're getting married, and this is the next step, sharing space. It's like we're doing this because we're together, or maybe we need to come together mm-hmm. so that we can save money.
I think also we might see an influx or an increase of roommating.
Definitely.
Like not just with your partner, like girl.
Homegirl.
Do you want to go in on? Because I can't afford, or people are going to start going back home, which we've already seen that happening, especially in New York, or where places where it's almost impossible to get decent rent.
Because they're talking about you need to make 40 times the rent or something to try to like regulate who's in these apartments, mm-hmm. which is fucking crazy. Like, y'all. Yeah,
we're seeing a lot of that.
Yeah.
So based on her post, what was some of the feedback that you received from your personal community?
So a lot of people, most people actually were like, no.
Mm.
That is not the economy, you know, the inflation and everything going up is not enough reason for me to consider moving in, co-living, or moving in with a significant other. Some people said that they've been there and they've done that, and it's just, it isn't worth it. And then, you know, people were really honest, which I appreciated. Like, one of the homegirls was like, you know what, I'm in this current situation right now. Like, me and my baby daddy, we're not together, but I cannot afford to leave. Mm-hmm. I just can't afford it right now. So it's like, it turns into a roommate situation. Like, we're not together, but we're roommates. I can't leave the home, can't afford my own apartment.
Right.
So we have to figure it out until things change.
Right. Which maybe we'll see less people separating and staying in relationships past the due date, the expiration date.
For sure. Because it's like, I got to stay. Like, I can't go. So we better work it out.
Yeah.
And when I first saw this post, my initial thought was no as well. And I understand that I'm speaking from a place of privilege because my rent is hella cheap, y'all. My rent is, you're not going to believe it, it's $11.95.
Yeah.
One.
She lives in Los Angeles too, so yes. You already know.
Yes, and it's not a shack. No. My rent is $11.95. Well, that's the way the Lord has smiled down on me.
Right.
When I thought it was at this face, I see a smile.
Yeah, I see teeth.
I've been living there for 6 years, and my landlord, it's a personal, like, what do we
private
call this?
Owned.
A privately owned. He has not gone up on the rent once.
Yeah, that's the
blessing. Since I've been living there. And in a situation like this, I realize how blessed I am and how much of a gem I have. Mm-hmm. Because, bruh, to have that same rent for $11.95 for 6 years.
Yeah. It truly is unheard of. And you have a nice place.
Yeah.
You have everything that you need. You have a washer and dryer. Mm-hmm. That's already the biggest flex, okay? Right. Washer and dryer.
Yeah.
Nice spacious unit. Mm-hmm. It's modern. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot that you're getting for $11.95, which would make you almost foolish to let it go.
And that's how I feel about it. That's why my stance is this. Like, forever my stance has been, when I move in with somebody, it needs to be like
an upgrade.
Yes.
Complete.
A complete upgrade. We're really stepping into a level up. Mm-hmm. And like, we're really deciding to take the relationship to the next step. And by next step, I mean serious next step. Because for me, and this is just how I feel, to like give up that place without that being solidified. And like, it's just like, oh, we're just dating and the economy's changing.
It's a huge risk.
Yes.
It's a huge risk.
Yes.
Not only, I mean, it's a huge risk for a lot of reasons, right? Because you don't have the security of knowing like we're in a marriage, right? Because that would be the ultimate security. Like, we're moving forward, life has changed, we no longer need that place because we're out of that space. But to date is really rolling the dice, because we could be together for a couple years or a year and then it don't work out, and now they got back in the streets paying market price for rent.
Yeah,
market value price. And that just don't work for me. I would not leave that place.
But then on the other hand, I know. So that's my personal situation. But I could see how, for people who are not in that situation, how it can makes more sense economically to just be like, we're always together, we're always at each other's house. Why are we paying two rents when we can save money by moving together? You know, if I'm paying $2,000 and you're paying $2,000, mm-hmm. we can save a lot of money and kind of have a one-up on the economy by doing
right
that.
And I think that when you're considering that, I feel like you have to really understand your goals. Is it just for us to save money individually? Are we actually moving forward towards buying something? Like, what's the objective? Because when it's all said and done, right, putting all the bills out, what are we truly saving? How is it really benefiting us, you know?
I think at this point, maybe in the past, it's like, okay, we're moving together for a bigger goal. But I think right now, currently, during this state of the economy, it's just to save, you know? Because if we're, instead of paying $2,000, I'm paying $1,000, that $1,000 can help be a cushion against the inflation, the rising gas prices, and whatever else has been increased,
right.
You know? We're not really putting any money up for a house, a shared goal. But we're still saving individually more than we would be if we lived individually.
Resources.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just depends on where the relationship is at.
It's just getting a price break because like this post said, and like we all know, wages aren't rising for mm-hmm. most people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a way that you can get it on the back end and figure it out for yourself. If your job's rate isn't doing what they need to do, is doing stuff like this. But I really do think that the relationship should be healthy.
The relationship has to be sturdy, baby. It got to be a sturdy Millie Rock.
It needs to be sturdy.
Very healthy, not toxic. I can't move with you. Just no. No.
It needs to have some really good solid roots. No. A solid foundation. Like, we feel like we're ready for that step. And when I say ready, like, I don't mean like ready where it's like people like me who are like want to be like, there's a spectrum of ready, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, this has to be in place and not on, then I'm ready. I mean, just like, you know, realistically that the relationship is ready
for that step.
You guys have been dating for a while. You understand, you know, what's going on. You've spent enough time together.
Alignment on goals, timeline,
exactly.
Things like
that. I mean, ready like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that personally, I'm trying to think of what I would want to do. If the economy was just the determining factor on if I'm going to move with my partner or not, I would say that I probably would not. It would have to be an extreme circumstance. Like, rent is going up to the point that I can't even afford it. I can't get a new place. Then of course that's just us looking out for one another, but I'm not going to leave my situation. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily be.
It would have to be like my ring.
I don't have another choice. It would have to be back against the wall. I don't have any other options. I need to come. We have to join forces, nigga. I need to come there. Because I would start thinking about ways that I can decrease my expenses, right? Like, whether it's streaming services, figuring out what I need to do. There's a lot of our money that just goes out of our accounts. Man. We're not even really combing through and figuring out, okay, I'm paying for Netflix, I'm paying for this, do I really need all of those things? I got a gym membership, I got a class pass. Do I really need all of those things?
I get to do the gym membership. I started taking a comb through. That's when I was like, let me put the Audible on pause because I have books. I have credits.
Can you pause it though? Or do you have
to
cancel?
You can pause it.
Oh, I need to pause it.
I have credits that need to be used, books that I'm not done with yet, and they're taking the $15.
There's like, so many things.
This insurance I had, $24.99, that I just signed up for to get a deal on getting my screen fixed. Like,
and you know
like
what
that.
Else? When you have these streaming services, sometimes you'll be paying for additional thing like Netflix. I mean, Hulu. I was watching... I pay for the non-commercial version so I could watch Snowfall with no commercials. And yet here I am paying $12.99 when I could be paying $5. Right. It's little things like that that you don't even realize. Like,
and that's how they get you.
Have made my expenses go up by $100 just on subscriptions, just on miscellaneous things.
Yeah, I'm like, I have Dipsy and I haven't even been using Dipsy.
That's $60 a year. And that probably is going, I need to
I didn't have it for the year. I was getting charged monthly.
Oh, I had, they got me for the year.
Okay,
I said,
well, you already have it.
No,
oh,
but
they
it's
got
gonna
you
renew.
Again. Yeah.
And the same thing happened, y'all, with Duolingo. It charged me $80 for the year. I said, oh my fucking gosh.
What I need to do, what I need to do is call my cable, my internet provider.
And turn it and switch your cable?
Yeah, because it's like, why am I paying $100 a month just for internet?
So you're going to turn it off completely?
I'm not going to turn it off. I'm going to see what specials are running.
Right. It's just little things like that. You will be really surprised at how much money you could be saving when you really look at your finances. So I feel like that would probably be my first step. If my back was not against the wall and I was living by myself, my rates weren't going up, my wages weren't increasing, I would be thinking, what can I change so that I can give myself a pay increase?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm not using it, it needs to go. If I've been buying hella different things, you know how we do at the market.
Yeah.
There's ways to strategize and get your...
There's ways. There's definitely ways. Mm-hmm. I think most importantly that I know every situation is unique, but just if it's in your power, just making sure it's a holistically good decision.
Yeah.
When making it, because... That's not something light. Although,
because the economy's going to level out, baby, and you're going to be like looking at this person. The living together can make or break.
Living together is nothing light either.
And I don't think it needs
to
be done
prematurely. I don't think it does either.
I do not think it needs to be done prematurely. At one point, I was like, we could totally live together. I feel like I always wanted my partner there.
Yeah.
And I think that if we would have did it any sooner, it would have crashed and burned.
Yeah.
It would have crashed and burned. I feel like there's a season and a time and a reason for everything. And doing shit out of season will just ruin the whole thing.
It's going to come. I think when you and Andres, it worked out in a good time frame. And that could also have to do with like the health of your relationship. When with other relationships, when you were ready to do it. I'm like, girl, no.
It was premature.
Yeah.
It was premature. And at the time, I was thinking we could live together for the same reason. The economy wasn't bad, but the goal, the mind frame, the perspective was the same. We could be saving. I plan to be at your place. You plan to be at my place. Why would we both be spending so much money on rent when we can just come together? No, fuck that. Just pay your rent. I'll pay my rent. I'll see you when I see you. Because there's also something special about being able to retreat to your own place. Okay? To hell with the bills.
Especially when you're laying the foundation.
Peace. Peace is at my home. Peace is at my home.
Because once you decide to come together, there's no retreating. You're there. You have to figure it out.
There isn't.
You have to figure it out. And it's like, you can't just go fleeing.
And another thing is, it really is difficult to take steps backwards. You can take your time to move forward. But imagine coming together, it not being right, and then it's given like, should we have not lived together?
Should we
move out and get our own places and stay together and continue dating? Whatever works for your situation, but I don't like to hustle backwards.
I wouldn't want to hustle backwards either. If we're moving out after we've already lived together and then
it's
we're moving
break
out
up.
And then still trying to be together, it gives, no.
It gives break up.
Something's not giving.
Yeah, no.
Something's not giving.
Economy wouldn't make me, but there are a great percentage of people who will be doing this.
Yeah.
Who it'll make sense for their lives. We, there's another percentage of people who end up moving together or staying in a relationship. You might not even be feeling the crunch of the economy, or you might not even be living where, I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to say. You might not even necessarily feel the pressure of the recession, right? Everything is good, but knowing that the recession is occurring will also make you stay.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, the uncertainty.
The uncertainty
it's
of
like
the economy.
Gearing up, preparing for the storm.
Exactly.
So that you can weather it if
exactly.
it hits you. Yes.
Like, I'm good by myself, and it would be fine by myself, but knowing that the economy is so bad is also what makes me cling to a partner. Not me personally. This is just an example.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that, too, mindset around scarcity and abundance.
Right. And then this opens up a larger conversation, too, because ultimately we know that in the grand scheme of things that we get further in partnership, right? Mm-hmm. You just do. And we need partnership, especially when we're looking at how Social Security may be eliminated and like we won't have that income coming in to where it's like, you know, I retired, I got my pension, I can just get by like our grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
y'all actually are living on my Social Security.
Yeah.
I'm tired of paying it.
But like our grandmothers, they don't need a significant other to like get by. They have their fixed incomes and they're able to do what they need to do. But that probably won't be the story of our generation because of the way the resources are being dried up.
Because they living on them. I'm like, y'all got to get off
their
of them.
Their resources are being dried up. And when you're old and gray and you need that dual income to really survive, that's something to actually think about and consider.
I mean, yeah, but luckily we're not old and gray.
We're not, but I mean, we're going to have to find somebody to gang.
I know,
with
but we got a
while
long
you're
time.
Young.
We have a lot of
while
time.
While you're young, you got to find someone.
You got a lot of time.
Yeah.
You got a lot of time. I mean, it can make sense for who it needs to make sense for.
It definitely can make sense for who it needs to make sense for, but I was just, when we were the photographer at the event that we went to, Kwani's event. On
yes.
Sunday?
Yes, Conrad.
Conrad, yes. Mm-hmm. Conrad was like, oh, what do you guys talk about on the podcast? And I just, instead of giving the general overview of what we talk about, I was telling him that, you know, this week we're actually going to be talking about the economy and how it affects relationships. And I asked him, you know, what are your thoughts? This is a man's perspective mm-hmm. because, you know, we're women here. I'm like, what are your thoughts? Like, how has the economy changed your thinking or made you think about living with a significant other? Is that a thing for you? And he was like, you know, I don't think that would be enough for me. He was like, instead of just going straight to we should move together, I would be like, you know, what jobs do we need to pick up? What are some things? Some do we need to do Uber Eats? Do we need to do this? You know, certain things to just empower us individually
yeah.
to kind of weather the temporary storm versus just deciding to jump
moving
in together.
Yeah.
And but it, again, it's all subjective depending on where you are, because if you've been together for like, and then he said this too, he was like, you know, if you've been together for like 2 years and you know that you guys are going all the way for the most part and everything's healthy, and you decide, you know what, this is when we should just pull the trigger. Yeah. It makes sense right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, you know, we weren't necessarily thinking about it right at this moment, but let's do it. Yeah. We're not going anywhere.
And that's kind of how my situation happened, how we transitioned into moving. It was a talk, but when it really needed to happen, it was like, let's just do it. Like, this makes the most sense right now. So I definitely understand that. Speaking to what you mentioned about him mentioning about getting jobs and shit, extra jobs, in the little study that I was reading, they said that if you see very good looking people or more waitresses and waiters
who are handsome and fine,
yes,
or pretty
showing up, it's usually a sign that the economy is bad or getting worse. People need extra jobs. So you have these people who might be working, you know, during the day as
professionals. On the weekend, I'm a bartender. I'm working at Sephora. I'm doing.
Exactly. And then you see people start working in, waitressing and waitering so they can pick up extra coins.
Oh.
Yeah.
Learn something.
That's what it said.
Learn something. So we're definitely going to see how this plays out. Like, we don't know. We're new here.
Yeah. I will be sitting still. I was thinking about moving in and I said no. It don't make no sense for me. Everybody stay where you at.
Right, because although my apartment, it's just really when you have these real, honest adult conversations with yourself in these moments, because I'm like, okay, we're getting money coming in from the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe this is a time where I can upgrade my apartment to, like, you know, I want a floor-to-ceiling window. Just, like, little, not necessities, but wants. Yeah. Things that I would like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? This is $11.95, can't beat it with a bat. This is not the time to go moving into a place where the rent's going to be increasing every year. And I don't know what it's going to be increasing to. This is a time more money's coming in and I'm keeping my expenses.
You should be really stacking.
Same thing happened with the car.
Yeah.
I'm in a lease. And it was time to go have the conversation about what to do next with the car. And it doesn't make sense right now for me to get into a new car because my car note is another thing that's very low. When you look at car notes, it's very low. And if I were to get into a new car right now, it would be doubling based on the price of cars right now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't.
And the supply and demand is really, the cars are the same. It's the fact that you can't even fucking get one. So now they're getting it all back in blood. They're getting it back in blood. Same. And I really feel proud of us, like I mentioned earlier, to really sit down and take the not even necessarily that it's an ego thing, right?
The
logical, sensible approach to, like, decisions, especially as it pertains to, like, finances and chess moves. Ideally, yes, you want the new thing.
Yeah.
You want to elevate. You want to upgrade your materialistic goods,
right?
Your car, your apartment, whatever. But is that the best, smartest decision right now? Probably not. And a young me would have been like, fuck it, I can afford to double my car note, I could pay for that, and not really looking at the whole picture. Like, this probably is not the best time, and there's a smarter decision. Although you would like to upgrade your car, now's not the time.
Yeah, because because
the car is only 3 damn years old.
Yeah, and simply because the price of the cars have
shot up.
Yeah,
they're shot up right now. And like we said, this economy thing, this is temporary. This is not going to be here for long. You know, everything is going to level out. We're just riding the wave.
We're riding the wave. And a big piece is to be smart with your resources so that you can continue to do the things that you really like to do and that you really want to do. Those things don't have to necessarily be taken off the chopping block if you're making smarter decisions.
Exactly.
Staying in your apartment that's more affordable allows you the freedom to continue traveling, to continue to invest, to continue to look nice and not have to neglect the things that you truly want that make you happy, right? Like getting your nails done.
These nails.
Yeah. I mean, even that has gone up. The price of our nails have gone up.
Yeah.
So, but that's an important piece to you, right? Yeah. Getting your hair done, staying nice is important. So keeping your, controlling the controllables when and where you can, and whatever that looks like for you, combing out your finances, figuring out what needs to go, what needs to stay, moving with your nigga, whatever. Yes. Whatever works for you is what works for you.
Yeah, because there are some girlies who are here who are like, you know what, it does make the most sense. We're just talking about it.
That's it. Let us know what you think. I'd love to hear it.
I would love to hear it too. I would love to have this conversation on live. Oh, if you yes. didn't know, the girls are going live on Wednesdays now around 5. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. 4:35.
4:35 PST. Join us. Yes. We're going to be continuing the conversations from that week's episode. Mm-hmm. So meet us over there. We want to hear your opinion, how the economy is impacting you, what your relationship is looking like during this time, and how we can strategize to thrive.
Yes.
We're strategizing to thrive.
Strategizing to thrive.
Yes. So I think that's it. We will see you next week. We love you so much.
Talk to you soon. Bye. We'll be right back.